This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I am your host, Michael Trim Jr., a.k.a. Slim Trim, and in today's show, we got some great topics. We'll be discussing FAMU's win over Alcorn State during homecoming, preview their game against Southern this weekend, recap Ole Miss versus UGA, talk about who's the biggest threat to Ohio State, and more. But tell me with these topics, I got some great guys in the studio.
Yo, it's Wes from the 904. Duval in the building, baby.
What's going on? It's the kid from the 615 Nashville, Cashville, Tennessee. It's Austin Kaysen.
Yo, it's your boy Bryson Russell from the city that let a hustle, Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, sir. First intro, got it right.
And also, congratulations to Bryson, you know, first show. So
appreciate it.
Big shout out to him.
Yes, sir.
But to get started with the show, we're going to be talking about Alcorn State versus FAMU. FAMU did win this game during homecoming 33-28. So we'll start with you, Wes. What were your thoughts about the game?
You know what? We finally got a dub, even though we were supposed to get this dub. This was supposed to be a layup. You know, you schedule your layups for homecoming, so everybody gets to see a big W when they come back. But we performed well. You know, I wasn't happy with some of our defensive production, but you know, RJ got the start after not playing last week, and he looks good. He threw for well over 300 yards, a touchdown. He ran the ball well. Finally, he's finally using his legs. I liked what I saw.
I honestly think our problems beyond this homecoming game was definitely everything, but most importantly, I feel like the OC play calling was a big problem. I feel like we were too lackadaisical, if you will, with play call, like it's straight run the ball and RPO screens, and we're getting no yardage. They finally threw the ball downfield. I guess it was confidence in the team due to it being homecoming. Maybe because they got booed, pep rally, I don't know. But anything could help, you feel what I'm saying? At least they threw the ball downfield. We saw a 300-yard game from our quarterback. Hopefully that can give him some more confidence going into the season.
I absolutely agree. The play calling was way more advanced than what we've been seeing all season. Like, it looked like a completely different OC calling plays.
I would say this. It felt like the OC had a lot more confidence in who was playing quarterback. And I think that was also probably due to homecoming as well. And like Wes said, getting booed and stuff like that, I think that all plays a part. Johnson had a 26 for 38 yard passing game. 26 for 38 attempt passing game with 300 passing yards and a touchdown. And again, we utilized the run game well. Thad Franklin had 20 carries for 67 yards. Not the most efficient run game, but again, he got the yardage that he needed to help us win and succeed in the rushing game.
I kind of agree with y'all. I feel like the play calling did look a lot better out there from what I saw. I think that has a lot to do with kind of us having a coaching staff that really at this point has nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's like if they go out there and they call another bad game, like it's just another bad game. So they might as well try to, you know what I'm saying, throw in some diversity as far as play calling. And like most of the coaching staff, especially Coach Colsey knows that at this point, he's probably gone either way. So it's like he might as well try to, you know what I'm saying, put something out there that looks entertaining, that's something that Rattler fans can kind of get behind going into the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? He's almost playing for a job that he doesn't have anymore. So
he's trying to earn it back.
Right.
He's trying to give us something to make us want to keep him.
Absolutely. And that was the game that you got to do. Obviously, it being homecoming, a whole lot of people in town. I think the classic game is going to be more of the same. Obviously, we got Southern next, which, to be real, like, it's not going to look too good. In my opinion, I don't think that we really have much of a chance of doing much in that game. But like I said, it's the games when the most eyes are on him. That's how he can kind of, you know what I'm saying, almost trick and persuade Rattler Nation into getting a little bit more trust behind him. But yeah, we can get into the Southern game now, though.
So Southern is coming to this game 1-6. Do you guys think
they're 1-6?
They're 1-6. I wanted to touch on this because Southern has more rushing yards than passing yards. And I can see a way where we go to Southern and we get that dark cloud defense back and we stop their team and we can score a couple points. Like, I feel like their offense is so bad over there at Southern. I see a way for us to win this game, even though we've lost almost every game we were supposed to win. But I can see a way for us to go into Southern and come out with a win. They're not a very good team this year. They're usually a problem for us in the SWAC, but this year they're not looking like, you know, the most competitive team. So we go into Southern and get a win, that could flip our season around for sure. So I believe in us at Southern this year.
I feel like whoever wins this game is going to have the most total time of possession, if you will. Like, whoever has their offense on the field longer is going to win the game. I feel like we can do that. We just had a bunch of, like, we had 300 yards, like y'all said that. Franklin had 20 carries. So we had a well-balanced offense this week. We could not afford to change and go down. Like, the only way the coach keeps his job, if he just takes this win and ride with the momentum. Honestly, we're going to lose to Jackson State. I don't care what game plan they implement, we're going to lose. I'm not going to lie to you. But we can beat Southern. We can beat Bethune-Cookman.
Can we beat Bethune?
I don't know.
Bethune looks nice. Bethune looks really nice.
Bethune looks better than us.
Most definitely. But
they look nice.
It's Florida Classic.
It is a Florida Classic. Anything
can happen any Saturday. So I feel like we can have a strong opportunity to beat them boys. Hopefully he can lock in so he can stay in Tallahassee if he wants to. I mean,
I personally, man, it's the swag. So, I mean, no one's really ever that good. So like Wes said, too, they have more rushing yards than passing yards. That's not really a sign of a very modern, very talented offense. So, I mean, if we can really load the box and stop the run, I say we have a good chance of going in there and winning. But once again, I think that the biggest thing would just be, can we find a way to throw the ball again? Over 300 yards passing this week. You gotta stick with what was working. It's been a lot of times just through my life, like seeing football teams who struggle, they find something that works and then they go back to their old ways. Like, stick with what was somewhat working. Played a bad team last week. We're gonna play a bad team this week. Try to find some holes and flaws in their offense and or defense and exploit it and put just a couple points on the board and we'll be fine.
Alrighty, what's the score predictions, fellas?
It's either gonna be low scoring or high scoring. It's not gonna be like in between. It's either gonna be like a 14-10 game or like another Alcorn FAMU repeat, like a 33-28 game. I'll go with the high scoring because I believe in our offense. I believe we're gonna ride this train. I'm gonna go with 31-21 Rattlers.
I got us winning 18-12.
Okay.
17-10.
I'm gonna go 22-15. Rattlers.
That's an ugly game.
That's a terrible looking game.
I personally won't be watching.
But moving on to some top 25 matchups, we have Ole Miss versus UGA this past weekend. Ole Miss did lose to UGA. Wes, what's your thoughts on the game?
Trinidad and Tobago finally fell, bro.
Yeah, I know you were waiting for this moment.
I'd never had any issues against him. I like watching him. Y'all just didn't like
Let me just say this. You were his first hater.
That's absolutely not true.
Yes, it is. It is 110%.
I say he was unproven because he didn't start out the season and he didn't have a lot to show for it. And then he continued on and continued to play well. And I was like, I don't know. I called Georgia to win this game on picks last week. You know, go check out 905 The Flavor Sports. You know what I'm saying? On Instagram, you can see my picks.
You had Georgia too?
I had Georgia
as well.
Yeah, so like, I mean, it wasn't a bad game by him. He threw for 263 and a touchdown. He led the team in rushing, which is the problem. They couldn't run the ball. He got two touchdowns on the ground, too. So he didn't have a bad game by any sense of the imagination.
Ole Miss has looked like a team who's been sliding for the past 2 weeks. Obviously, playing that nail-biter at home against Washington State when you were 20, I believe they were like 27.5-point favorites headed into that one. And you only squeaked that one out at the very end of the game at home. I was right there with Wes. I had Georgia winning this game. And honestly, if I was Lane Kiffin, and I said this after the LSU game when it seemed like Austin Simmons was getting back healthy, I thought that they should have went back to him before the Washington State game.
I don't know if I agree with that.
But tell me why you don't agree with that.
Because you've had a quarterback who's been performing for the last few weeks. He played against high competition.
No, for
and
sure.
His only bad game was last week against Washington State, and he still came out with the dub. And you can't have not continuity in your offense. You can't flip the flop again. They just got used to Trinidad Chambliss, and then you're going to go back to the quarterback you haven't had for 4 or 5 games. Like, you can't do that going into Georgia.
Let me just say this. Yes, I get it. They had a huge win against LSU while Austin Simmons was hurt. But you got to realize and understand that Trinidad Chambliss and Austin Simmons are at two very different points in their college football career. Sure. I believe Chambliss is in, like, what, year 5 maybe? He's come from a D2 where he's won a D2 national champion and won a D2 Heisman. He's older. And Austin Simmons is
his second year in college.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's 19 years old. Yeah. He's very young. So for the fact that Austin Simmons was able to beat him out for the starting position in the first place in fall camp, they should never have looked similar and comparable to begin with. You have a guy, like I said, who's 19 years old versus a guy who's been playing college football for years. The fact that Austin Simmons won the job in the first place should let you know that not only is he much better right now, but his ceiling is way higher than what he is. He's also 6'4". He's a left-handed quarterback too, right?
Simmons, yeah.
He's yeah, like
some people like don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't like that. But he's got crazy arm talent. He's not like Tua where, you know, he's just a poison precision guy. But I'm going to say this. I bet you do. But like Tua
Alabama
just
fan.
Even no, I mean, I love Tua while he's at Bama and he was great at Bama, but Simmons and Tua are different. Simmons has the pure arm strength. Obviously, he's a pitcher on their baseball team too. The word on him coming into the season was that he was like some generational athlete. Like he gets an ankle sprain and you beat a ranked team and you just abandon him. And
I mean, it's just hard to go back. Like
it can be hard to go back, but I mean, you see what happens when you don't go back. You
Trinidad Chambliss has more games than Austin Simmons, and he's won more games, and he's won more games. He playing very well. Like he threw for 300 in three of the five games he played. He won four of the five games he played. Like it's hard to dispute these results. Like if a guy won four games with you, and two of them were SEC matchups, and one was a top five team, like when you'd be like, oh, well, I can keep this guy.
It would be hard to go back.
I feel what y'all saying. I personally disagree with you, Austin. I feel like, yes, I understand. Austin Simmons does have more upside than Trinidad Chambliss. But Trinidad Chambliss, I feel like in the middle of the season, you're about to go play Georgia. You don't want to make that switch from a right-handed quarterback to a left-handed quarterback. Those are different throwing motions. Like
even the way the ball spins.
Yeah, like catching the ball is completely different. Like, and then you're going into Georgia. So that's Trinidad Chambliss was playing decent Washington State game, but played good every other game besides that. I feel like actually Ole Miss played a great game versus Georgia. The only downfall was they didn't run the ball well, and when it got late into the game, they couldn't get the stops that they wanted. Georgia played the best offensive game they played all season that game. They didn't punt the ball one time. They were 5 for 5 in the red zone, and on top of that, I remember seeing the drive stats. They had a field goal with their first drive, and then the rest drives were touchdown and another field goal. So
it was
like
an amazing offensive game. Like, if that's what you like to watch in football, like watch the first half of that game.
Most definitely. Gunnar Stockton only threw 4 incompletions. He was 26 for 31 with 280 something yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Georgia also did something that they've been doing for years, but they abandoned it this season, which was throwing to tight ends. Lawson Lucky had 3 touchdowns by himself because they actually threw to tight ends for once in the red zone. So, I mean, I feel like they made the right adjustments and changes. I feel like Ole Miss definitely has a bright season ahead of them. I still like Trinidad Chambliss as a quarterback. Austin Simmons is young. He's 19. He's already graduated college. So, like, he's just chilling. So, like, bro is straight. Like, he'll find another. Like, he can play for Lane Kiffin next year.
Okay, right, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, do you go with someone else next week?
That's starting what I'm saying. Into, like,
who do they play next week? Like, I wouldn't change quarterbacks
play Oklahoma next week. I don't think you should change to Austin Simpson going to Oklahoma. Or I think they might be playing Ole Miss. But they're playing Oklahoma, so I don't think you should change your quarterback, honestly.
It'd be hard to. Like, I can't. You've played more games with Trinidad Chambliss than Austin Simmons. So, yeah. what are you going to do?
And on top of that, Simmons, that Kentucky game, oh, my gosh, that was, like, so scary when he threw the ball. It was a pick every time.
Yeah, I was going to bring that game up when talking about when Austin brought up the point that if you started the year with Austin Simmons, then you can't go back to him, or since he was already better initially to begin with. And I was going to bring up the Kentucky game because that game, it was a rough game for him, and they almost got upset by Kentucky. But to pivot to another SEC matchup, we had Tennessee versus Alabama. And Tennessee, I was very impressed earlier on when they played UGA. It was a very tough game. They put up 40 points on a Kirby Smart defense. This game against Kalen DeBoer, they didn't look like that same Tennessee team earlier on in the season. They lost 20-37. And again, Ty Simpson looks like a Heisman candidate.
Yes, he does.
And I'm sitting with 2 Bama fans here, so we can start with you, Bryson. What you think about this game?
I absolutely love that game, man. Shout out to my boys at Bama. Shout out to the whole state of Alabama Roll Tide. You feel what I'm saying? Shout out to ZB for the pick six before the start of the second half. Ty Simpson getting better every single week. We're getting every wide receiver in our room with touches, spreading the ball out with consistency. Ryan Williams, I'm so proud of him. With all the drops he's had this season, he stepped up in this game. Jeremy Bernard, Isaiah Horton, Lazier Brooks. Just a great game from our offense. And I like how we're fighting, man. The only thing I'll say about Bama that's going to kill us, if we eat the rat poison, if we take these games that we are winning, beating ranked teams, like, we have to remember how the nation treated us when we lost to FSU. Mm-hmm. The dynasty was over then, so technically the dynasty's over now. The dynasty's never over. But, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, we can't go into South Carolina next week expecting that we're just going to win. Like, South Carolina will play us hard. We're going to be at South Carolina. It's going to be an early game. It's going to be a tough game. So we just have to keep on pushing throughout the season. One thing I'll say about Tennessee has a top five receiving core in the SEC. I like their receiving core. They have nice slots with Mike Matthews.
Brazel.
Big body with Brazel. Staley in the slot. They have a nice running back with Bishop. You feel what I'm saying? Like, they have a good offensive line. Joey Aguilar can be hesitant sometimes, but he makes a good throw when he needs to. So I really like that team. I just feel like the defensive depth, due to them losing a lot of pieces in the draft last year, that was their hole. They couldn't really stop Ty Simpson. When they tried to get pressure, Ty would make a good throw. You feel what I'm saying? We would add extra blocking pieces. And in the fourth quarter, we absolutely dominated. Offensive coordinator just dialed in. My boy Ryan Grubbs. You feel what I'm saying? Even the plays that were supposed to be disasters ended up as first downs, like that pass back to Jeremy Bernard when he was supposed to throw touchdown pass. He ended up taking it himself and got a first down and a lot of yardage. So seeing that, seeing Bama fight, it just makes me happy.
My biggest takeaway from us is that we have a truly elite defense. Tennessee has not been held to under 20 or to 20 points or less. In fact, they hadn't been held under 30 all season, and we held them to just at 20 points. And that's just something that was really impressive to me. Even going back to the Saban days, since Heupel took over at Tennessee, we've not really been able to keep Tennessee from scoring points due to just the very different way that they decide to play offense and the way that they throw the ball down the field. I remember especially the year when they beat us with Jalin Hyatt, like, we just could not stop deep passes and stuff like that. And so just being able to slow Tennessee's offense down shows me that we have a real life elite defense. Like, and even like right now, I'm looking at the box score, it's like a lot of these guys are going to be first, second round picks on our starting defense. A lot of veteran guys there, and that's something that I think that is going to carry us through the season. When we got out of the Florida State game and we looked at our schedule going forward, and we looked at the stretch of Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, and then obviously South Carolina was there too. They were ranked high there too at that time. LSU was ranked higher than they are now, and then Oklahoma has looked good all season. We were kind of just like, man, like, this team could lose 4 or 5 games. Like, this could be a rough season. But you've made it through the roughest part of your schedule, with that being Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Tennessee. And really, even though the box scores will tell you otherwise, like, these are mostly games that you've controlled from start to finish. As a Bama fan, I'm just impressed and proud of, like, the bounce back of the team. And just, the team looks very complete. As far as Tennessee goes, like I said, this is like one of the only times since Josh Heupel's took over where I've just seen a Tennessee offense kind of be slowed, like really slowed down, and have to try to, like, they ran for, their running back had what?
130 something.
Like, yeah. Now, we should have slowed him down a little bit more. But, I mean, usually you see them just open games. Like, they even did it to Georgia this year. They just said, we're throwing the ball down the field, and that just really wasn't happening. Their longest reception was 30 yards. Outside of that, they didn't have another reception over 20 yards. So they got to get back in the lab with that. That method might be patched. So
the only thing I'll say Bama needs to do is just run the ball better. We can run the
Not
ball
facts.
Better.
Not facts. In we can't run.
Zone,
we can't,
like,
run,
we
the
can't
ball.
Run the ball in the red zone to save our life. We got to put Caden Proctor back there. Like, come on.
I feel like at this point, the whole Jim Miller is not in sync or in, like, up to speed because he's been hurt and stuff or whatnot. It's getting a little bit old. I just don't think we can run the ball very well.
You know, put Daniel Hill back there tomorrow too.
I thought we had ended this era. I thought it was over with. I thought it'd be done. The SEC's all the best teams. I thought it was over. I thought, you know, other teams were coming out of the woodwork. I thought, like, Ohio State's, and I mean, Ohio State's number one, but, like, I thought we had more teams entering the, like, top tier of schools that could really compete, and then this back to just, it's the SEC in the top 10. And Alabama bounced back from that. They have no SEC losses, so they're, like, set up to, I don't even know who's going to win the SEC at this point. Texas A&M's undefeated, you know, so, like, this is a...
Yeah, A&M's playing great ball.
We're back. We're back in it, you know. It's not like Nick Saban never left. Like, it doesn't matter anymore, you know. It's not the Georgia dynasty, you know. It's not the same as it was, but it's still here, I guess. Like, it's honestly tiring.
Okay, Wes.
You know, I need FSU back.
You sound a little defeated, man.
I mean, because this is what we grew up with, right? This is what we've been seeing for the past decade, for a little bit more. Like, And it was looking like it was coming to an end. The Georgia dynasty ended. You know, we were seeing other teams win national championships, and we're right back in it. We're right back in it. Bama's good. Texas A&M's good. Georgia's still good. Ole Miss is still in the top 10 after losing. Like, it's,
you know,
Vandy's 10. Vandy's 10. You know how bad it is with Vandy's 10?
Georgia State, Georgia Tech is 7. Yeah. Like,
Georgia Tech's playing amazing.
Are them academic schools on the come up?
Yeah. It's getting ugly in college football, man.
I really feel
is it
like,
getting ugly, or is it just not what we're used to seeing?
No, it is what we're used to seeing. No. Ohio State's number one.
Damn,
there's 5 SEC schools in the top 10. We're used to seeing this. Are you not used to seeing that?
Yeah.
The only other teams are the Oregon.
The only reason why.
Georgia Tech is a little new.
But
Indiana's
would you not say
a little
these,
new.
These teams,
Vandy's new.
Vandy's new.
But it's an SEC school.
It is. But they're a legitimate top 10 team, too.
Yeah. They are. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it's what we're used to, man.
I have to see Ohio State play some competition. Oh, my gosh. Because, like, man, I'm seeing these boys playing Wisconsin. Yeah, they get the shutout. But
that's just
like
the Big Ten, bro. Like, yeah, who else are they supposed to play? They're playing Big Ten opponents. Like, that's what they do, and like that's what they have.
But that was gonna be my next question for you all. Who's the biggest threat to Ohio State this season?
Nobody until they get into Michigan.
Nobody.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think Ryan Day will probably ever beat Michigan in the regular season at least.
That's crazy.
Why you say that?
That's absolutely.
I feel like he's just. I mean, it's not crazy when he hasn't beat them in the last 4 years. So,
right, but this year,
I mean,
man.
The proof is in the this year.
They have a better team than they did last year.
They do have a better team than they did last year. The wide receiving core is still better, bro.
One thing I'll say.
The quarterback is probably better than Will Howard was last year.
I'm saying Michigan has a better roster than Michigan had last year.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And they beat them last year.
And on top of that, I'll say this. It's just like how Alabama and Auburn play. One thing about me and the Iron Bowl from when I've started being an Alabama fan, I would never count Auburn out of any Iron Bowl. Auburn is always going to play us like it's their national championship, because it is. Like, they're not about to go to the national championship, so they're trying to upset Bama, because Bama's about to go to the SEC championship in 2 weeks, and Bama's not really focused on nothing but the SEC championship, so they're trying to shock the world. Same thing with Michigan. Like, they play these boys at a different type of speed than they usually play it the rest of the year. I'm not about to see the same Michigan team that we saw at Oklahoma when we see them play Ohio State, and they're playing at the Big House this year.
This is true, but I see the Michigan team, and I don't see a team that can stop what Ohio State is producing.
What is
and
Ohio like, State so, doing so that's
you,
so special?
So, Wes, who do you think is going to knock off Ohio State first?
Somebody in the playoffs. Nobody in the regular season. I think they're going this undefeated in the regular season.
Do you think they'll repeat?
I think they'll
repeat unless they get a terrible matchup. Like,
I think Oregon can do it.
Oregon can beat them?
Big Ten championship game.
Interesting.
For sure.
Interesting.
I mean.
That's not crazy. I think they're going to run into an SEC school that they don't match up well with.
Yeah, facts.
I think they're running into maybe Bama. Like, if they see Bama in the playoffs and get caught off guard and they can't score the ball as easily as they usually do. Only low scoring game they had was the first one against Texas. Like, they've been scoring at will all season.
They haven't played anybody. Though.
Like, their wide receivers.
I mean, they played Illinois. They're ranked.
Illinois is nobody. They have Luke Altmaier. Like,
hey,
what
man,
are we talking
they're
about?
Ranked. I mean, somebody
Bro,
thinks they're somebody.
Illinois is, if they were in the SEC, they're not even Arkansas. What are we talking about? Like, they're not even Kentucky. They have a pocket passing quarterback. I don't even know. They do.
Hey, someone.
Illinois is not. Ohio State plays nobody. They have two great wide receivers. I love Cardale Tate. I love Jeremiah Smith. You feel what I'm saying? They have dogs on the offense. They're always going to have dogs. They have a good recruiting staff. But at the same token, I haven't seen these boys win in the trenches versus a good team. They didn't win in the trenches versus Texas. They didn't dominate the boys in the trenches.
Texas has a good defense.
Yeah, but Texas held their ground. Like, if Arch Manning came in there and played how he was supposed to play, I feel like Texas would have beat them boys, like, honestly.
But they haven't had, like, an Ole Miss against Washington State game. Like, they don't have a game where it was almost bad. They don't have a slip-up game, bro. They're blowing everybody out. There's no one's coming close. And that's the same as saying, like, you know, Georgia's not going to be good, like, when we started off the season, because they were blowing out teams that aren't good. Like, when you blow out teams that aren't good, you did your job. You did exactly what you're supposed to. You can only play who's offered to you.
It's easy to do that.
And I think we should schedule harder opponents for good teams.
It's easy to do that when you're about to play Wisconsin, then you play a FCS.
Shut out Wisconsin. Wisconsin scored 0 points.
I'm saying this. In the SEC, you play a top 10 school, then you play at FCS school, then go right back to a top 10 school.
They've held six teams to single-digit points.
and know that those six teams were ranked at the time, except for Illinois.
Texas.
Look at Texas, Texas now. Wow.
Texas still ranked.
That's such a big accomplishment. Texas is ranked. Texas is literally ranked because they played an Oklahoma team with a hurt John Mateer.
Listen, their big like game was supposed to be Penn John State. Mateer. Penn State fell apart, bro. They're playing Penn State this week. That's not
the big
their
10
fault.
Is I mean, a disappointment. I'm sorry
Ohio
to tell
State's
you.
Like, not. I mean, you can only play who you play. So they're gonna sweep
I'm just saying,
this season. They're not gonna lose. They're not gonna lose.
I honestly think it's unfair when the SEC is moving to eight teams. You have to play eight teams in the SEC next season, and Ohio State's playing the whole season versus teams that can play my high school football team. Like, honestly, like, what are we talking about?
I mean,
so
what high school did you go to? That's gonna
it really wasn't that elite. I'm really just talking trash. But at the same token, like, Bama, Texas, Tennessee, Georgia.
That's the risk of being in the SEC,
they're playing,
man.
They're playing hard nosed football.
That's,
they're
it's
playing
always been like
banged
the
up football, and then we get to the playoffs, and I mean, they're fresh.
That's
like,
how
they
college
have,
football has
they
been
have
for 100 years.
They have their whole starting lineup.
The SEC has been the most difficult conference to come out of for 100 years, man. That's just how it is. I think to double back to the original point, I don't think they're getting upset by Michigan this year. I think Michigan's one-dimensional. I think they have a decent defense and a good running game and a good quarterback, but no weapons.
Okay.
I don't think Ohio State will have an issue.
Switching gears to the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs. After starting the year 0-2, they've won four of their last five games.
They have. And me and Trim was out here and said it. We said it's the Chiefs.
It doesn't matter.
No one's upset.
Like,
no one's worried.
Right.
They're still going to make the playoffs.
So are they the favorites to come out of the AFC now?
Stop.
No. What? That's not. That's, no.
Bro, no
they're
one
not
said
the
that,
favorites.
Mike.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Right. So who's the favorite?
The favorite to come out of the AFC?
And is it Kansas City?
The favorite to come out of the AFC, honestly.
Because who do you have? The Colts?
Yes. Kind of, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I think it's
the Colts play nobody. And on top of that, I like the way the Colts are playing football. Like, it's very get the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands. We're about to throw the ball fast to a five-yard mesh route to Joshua Downs, and it gets 10 more yards. You feel what I'm saying? It's smart-ass football. Like, it's good football. Another thing, the AFC South is not the best division, so I definitely see the Colts could definitely make a run.
This is what the rankings look like right now. You have the 6-1 Colts. You have the 5-2 Patriots. You have the,
oh, I love the Patriots.
You have the 4-2 Pittsburgh Steelers, the 5-2 Denver Broncos, the 4-3 Chargers, the 4-3 Chiefs, the 4-3 Jaguars, and the 4-2 Buffalo Bills.
I don't like the AFC. See right now at all.
I still think the Bills are still my favorite. They dropped.
Losing to the Falcons is a big issue.
Yeah, it was a
you
bad
lost
one.
Back to back.
But like, rise up, baby.
But at the end of the day, it's not that serious to me. Like, it's the NFL. You're gonna lose games. Obviously, it didn't look pretty, and I feel like just writing them off after those games is just a little bit premature. Like, you're only six games into the season. You still got 11 more to go. They'll probably drop two more over the course of the rest of the regular season, and that's okay. Like,
who? The Bills gonna drop two more games?
They might.
Oh, okay.
There's 11 more games.
They do play the Chiefs in like 2 weeks.
The Chiefs don't really scare me in the regular season. If I'm
I like the Colts and the Patriots. Honestly, I feel like the Patriots plays nobody. Like the next four games they have, it was the Titans last week. No offense, Kaysen, but the Titans, they play the Browns, they play the Jets. Like, they're playing mediocre teams. They play the Dolphins. Like, they're about to
schedules as a Ravens fan, bro.
They play,
they're about to just run the table.
They play the
on these teams.
They play the Browns, the Falcons, and the Bucks. Those are the next three games.
Yeah, they're going to lose the Falcons and the Bucks.
Okay.
But especially to the Falcons. But yeah, I feel like they could definitely make a way to get to the top position. I feel like the Colts, like I said, these are sleeper teams. I don't feel like none of these teams are going to win a Super Bowl. I honestly feel like Patrick Mahomes and the addition of Rashee Rice, that's very nice. So
shutting out the Raiders was a big deal for me. That's like a turning point in the season for me, watching them shut out the Raiders, because their offense looked good. Their defense didn't allow a single point. Like, I know I was never off the Chiefs train for sure, because I just knew they would, you know, lock in. But I'm more impressed, and I'm more inclined to say they'll have a deep playoff run after seeing that for sure. And I think, you know, we like to say it here, like, the AFC is the land of Superman quarterbacks. And I think that's what's going to take you to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. So the Bills and the Chiefs are like the teams that I'm like, okay, those are going to make it to the Super Bowl, just because they have the talent on the front man, on the quarterback. That's what's going to do it in the AFC.
Now, on to, you know, one of my favorite parts of the show, the game predictions for week 8 of the NFL season. First matchup we have on Thursday Night Football, we have the Minnesota Vikings versus the LA Chargers.
Oof,
Chargers.
I could really go either way. I'll go Chargers.
I'm gonna go with what they've been calling Justin Herbert, if man. I go if, man. I go with the Chargers.
I like Harbaugh. Chargers.
Okay, everybody going Chargers? I think I'm going to go with the Chargers as well.
Where do they play?
It's in L.A. All right,
yeah, sure.
Next game up, we have the Miami Dolphins versus the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons. Yeah, Falcons. Kaysen?
I mean, yeah, like, I'm not picking the Dolphins.
You have to say it, man. I'll just make sure, because we have some crazy picks on here.
Some stuff that don't got to be said, like this next game.
Bears-Ravens?
Oh.
Nah.
It wasn't that game. My fault. We got a different list.
Go.
You said Bears-Ravens?
Bears.
Yeah. Ravens.
I'm going Bears.
Yeah, I'm going Bears. I like Caleb.
No, Lamar should be back.
Lamar should be back.
If Lamar's back,
I'm picking the Ravens, actually, if Lamar's back.
And the boys need it. Yeah, the boys desperate.
Need a bad.
I'm the only one going Bears.
Yes. They have no pass rush, so
they're all kind of scary. It's crazy how they're 1-5 and 6.5-point favorites.
All right.
Bro, we're putting up 40 points a game with Lamar.
Jets-Bengals.
Bengals.
Bengals.
Black O'Brien playing good.
That's still winless, bro. That's nasty.
Terrible work. Next game we got is the Buffalo Bills and the Carolina Panthers.
Bills.
Yeah, Bills.
They get back on track.
What that boy said, watch the TV. Carolina Panthers.
49ers.
No, I'm just kidding.
Houston Texans.
I just want to go back and say I was just kidding, Mike.
All right.
I got the Bills. Jimmy Horn joke. My fault.
49ers versus Houston Texans.
I got the Niners.
49ers got a lot of injuries. I'm still going to go with the Niners.
After what Christian McCaffrey just did to the Falcons.
Shout out my fantasy team.
This game is the Patriots and Browns.
I got the Patriots. But Judkins been running his butt off.
This is the type of game that the Browns defense going to really mess up Drake May. But Giants. I'm still going to take the Patriots.
I'm not saying that. We got the Giants and football. The Eagles.
Eagles. They're getting back on their train.
Giants, Eagles playing again already? Didn't they just play 2 weeks ago?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, they did. That was the Thursday game.
Giants upset too. Eagles get back.
Eagles tied up 1-1. Yeah, in Philly. Yeah, I can't see the Giants beating the boys in Philly. Unless Cam's got a boot goals for 5 touchdowns.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints.
Bucks by a million.
Everybody Bucks. Okay.
Baker's like the MVP right now. I'm not gonna lie.
I think the Colts and Titans just play too.
We played like week 3.
Well, Colts by a million.
Colts. Everybody Colts?
No, I got the Titans.
I'm not gonna lie.
You do?
I have the Titans.
He's got to.
Cowboys and Broncos. Cowboys.
Yeah, I like Dak. Dak has been playing great.
You know, the Broncos defense didn't play too well last night. I'll take the Cowboys. I'll rock with Dak. He's looking like an MVP candidate too.
And another thing what I'll say about the Cowboys, they actually made a great first round pick this year with Tyler Booker, Roll Tide. You can see a very big difference in their run game. They're like top 5 in NFL in rushing yards. They have Javonte Williams toting the ball, getting 100 yards a game. So yeah, I definitely like how the Cowboys are playing good offense right now.
Who you got, Austin?
I'm going to rock with the Cowboys as well, actually.
Usually
fade them, but I can get behind them.
Yeah, no, number one offense in the NFL, I think.
Yeah, literally.
Might be behind the Colts.
No, like passing is definitely the Cowboys.
Old school matchup. Packers versus Steelers. Who we got?
Oh, my God.
I got the Pack.
I got Packers. Everybody Packers?
Jeez.
Go ahead. Rock out with Perk, man.
I can't. I'm trying to. I think the Steelers, but I'm having a hard time saying the Steelers. I'll go with the Steelers.
Okay. And Monday Night Football, Commanders and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs. Commanders been looking a little off.
Yeah, and did Daniels ever come back yesterday? That's all he got hurt.
He's going to be out, I think, next week.
Yeah, no. Nah,
I think he's Chiefs. I forgot about the Daniels injuries. It looked bad for a second. They said it was okay.
All right. That's all the games for week 8 of the NFL season. Now on to the NBA. NBA season tips off this Tuesday, October 21st. We have the defending champions, OKC Thunder, versus the Houston Rockets with Kevin Durant. And then we have the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors to end the night. But we're going to go to the Eastern Conference first. We're going to give our Eastern Conference standings predictions.
Standings?
Eastern Conference standings predictions.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, I'll go first if y'all need me to.
All right, Austin, start with your Eastern Conference standings predictions.
Like, we need all 15?
No. 1 through 8.
Okay. All right, number one, I'm going to go with them New York Knicks. At number two, I'm going to go with the Cavs at the 2. At the 3, I'm going to go with the Hawks. At the 4, I'm going with Milwaukee.
You said Orlando yet?
No. I know, Mike.
Yo. Okay.
So I said, New York's my one. The Knicks are my one. Cleveland's my two. Three was going to be Milwaukee. No, the three. Did I say Milwaukee or Atlanta? Or yeah, Atlanta was my three. Milwaukee's my four. At my five, I got Detroit. I got y'all at my six, Mike. Orlando's my six.
Wow.
Philly's my seven. And Boston's going to be my eighth.
I'll go number one, Cavs. Number two, I'll go Knicks. Number three, the Sixers. I feel like if Joel can stay healthy, I like the Sixers.
I think he's playing open tonight, though.
Yeah, I know. That's a big if.
And then he won't play again until Christmas.
Yeah, that's a big if, but the Sixers actually have a lot of depth, in my opinion, especially at the guard position.
What
now.
Depth? Talk to me about that depth.
What do you mean?
No, let's talk about that.
They got
Maxie,
Jeremy
McCain is hurt.
DJ Edgecombe.
But he's still going to end up playing this year.
He's going to eventually
play in November and December.
Better hope he doesn't break his nail. I'm being for real, like. And then you said Edgecombe.
VJ Edgecombe's a dog. We could all.
He's a rookie, so we don't know how it's gonna work.
That man might average 8-4 this year.
Are we serious?
He might.
I mean, it's a possibility.
We're already counting him as great depth. To be a 3 seed in the East.
Yeah, we don't count on rookies. That's the kind of crazy.
What do you mean we don't count rookies? That's part of depth.
Okay, so I'm gonna go.
We don't like rely on rookies.
Fam, they like. Let's talk about like. Besides their guards, and those guards you just named are weak.
Are we serious?
I don't know about weak.
Maxie's elite. Two-way. McCain has yet to play more than what.
McCain was looking like the offense. The rookie of the year last year.
He played like 12, 15 games.
What? He played like
three butts.
He played like, yeah, I'm about to say he played like 20, 25, months. 30 games.
He had 3 months.
He was averaging like 15, 16.
Yeah, he was a bucket.
Well, he could probably win rookie of the year again this year. Or he could probably go for it again this year. That's how little he played.
Shout out Ben Simmons.
I don't think, yeah, exactly. Fam, my thing is, you name that their week there to me as a guard as far as being a 3 seed. But wait, let's talk about their.
I feel like the Sixers are going to. Wait,
I mean, Andre Drummond. And Case are on the same page. I love Andre Drummond.
In December, in January, and when they don't have anyone in that front court.
That front court is atrocious. Like,
what it's.
Kelly Oubre.
VJ Hedges going to be playing power forward.
Time out. Time out. All right, let him finish his standing, though.
So I got Sixers at 3. I'll go Hawks 4. Shout out to the A. 5, I'll go Pistons.
You said Orlando yet?
6, I'll go
golly.
Orlando Magic. Go. Actually, I'm going Bucks 6. 7, Orlando Magic. 8,
all got the Bucks with a bounce back year.
Not even a bounce back year, but I just like Giannis. Mm-hmm.
Have y'all seen that roster?
It's not very good, but I still
like Giannis. Playing back up.
I like Giannis. Like a Boca.
He's starting.
I appreciate being the starter, man.
8, man, forget it. Shout out to the Hornets.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
or actually the Heat.
I was about to say,
Let me take that back.
Heat.
Okay. Wes?
I got the Cavs in my one.
Mm-hmm. The Hornets.
I got Kobe in my two. Sorry.
I got the Knicks in my two. I got... Dang, who's my three? I'll take the Hawks in my three. I like the Hawks. I'll take Orlando at 4, Pistons at 5, Bucks at 6. I'll take the Celtics at 7, Heat at 8.
Cool. Did you already go, Mike?
Nah, I'm about to.
But before you go, Mike, I just want to say something. I think I'm going to just admit this too, Mike, before you go. I had the Orlando Magic ranked a little lower just because I do know that you love them so much. I just wanted to make you a little bit mad. But back to the topic of the 76ers. We talked about this on the live show quite a bit. This roster is nasty.
Like, let's pull it up. Can we?
Fam, if we... like,
we're going to get into it. Hold on. Let me...
Quentin Grimes can get you a good...
I'm about to say, I forgot about
Grimes. Quentin Grimes is not someone you talk about when you're talking about being
Kyle
a 3
Lowry
seed.
Is a, is a
Kyle Lowry is not the person
man.
You talk about when you talk about why your team is going to be the 3 seed.
No, I'm not
bro.
Saying. I never said the Sixers can be the 3 seed.
No, I'm just saying
no, that's what we're talking about.
And B goes down.
If Joel has a good year.
But if Embiid goes down, your starting center is Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond might be one of the best rebounders of all time. Not
he's
even
like
Embiid.
Yes, best rebounders
yes,
of all
yes,
time.
But, bro,
but we're talking about 2025.
Andre Drummond has not been doing that since for the last 10
years. Bro, are we serious?
Last 8 years.
Andre Drummond can get you a good 10 rebounds. Andre Drummond can get you a good 10 rebounds.
That's not winning the game.
They're playing in the East.
Most centers average 10 rebounds.
The East is trash.
Other than that.
The East is trash.
They're not.
Halliburton,
hurt JT.
When we talk about a team getting to the three seed, you're not going to talk about Quentin Grimes, Kyle Lowry, Andre Drummond. That's horrible depth. That's horrible depth.
Right, but it is still the East.
I'm not going to lie.
It's the East. Like, if, as long as they... Nah, okay, really Cavs, Knicks, I could really Pacers. See them.
All right, so...
No, Damian.
His roster is nasty,
the Eastern
bro.
Conference, the Eastern Conference is really top-heavy. It's about... Realistically, it's three teams that can...
You threw yourself in too.
At the one seed, I got the New York Knicks. Actually, no, I'm gonna start with the AC. At the AC, I got the Indiana Pacers. I think they can still make it with Nembhard, TJ McConnell. I think they can get in there because the teams below them, I don't think they have the continuity, the head coaching.
The next team is the Heat, though, right?
No, I have the Philadelphia 76ers at seventh seed.
Okay.
I can't see a world where they have another year like last year. But again, I think Embiid can play. Give me 45, 50 games this year. PG.
If he can play the 50 games that is valuable,
then they can get a seventh seed.
They could get a third.
Third
is so nuts.
We're gonna get into that. But at the sixth seed, I got the Milwaukee Bucks. I can't disrespect Giannis too much, but his roster is terrible. Their starting point guard is Kevin Porter Jr. Their starting center is Miles Turner. And outside of Miles Turner, he really didn't have anything else going for him offensively. Cole Anthony, they have him coming off the bench, but I don't really like their roster. I think they had arguably, you take Giannis off, that's the worst roster in basketball.
Yeah, it's loose.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The fifth seed, I have the Atlanta Hawks. I think I really like their additions. I wanted to put them at the fourth seed, but I think this team has a better star player than them. And that's the Detroit Pistons. I think Cade Cunningham can
Caden
do
him.
I think Cade and them. I think Cade and the Pistons can replicate their success a little bit more than what they did last year, but there's not.
Kay got a better chance at the three seed than the Sixers.
Oh, for sure. But they don't have the.
I'm not mad at that.
They don't have the complete roster that the next three teams have.
I just don't like Tobias Harris.
My three seed. That's fine. I have.
Who likes Tobias Harris? That's fine.
He used to play for the Magic.
10 years ago.
I have the Orlando Magic, adding Desmond Bane. Was probably the biggest or second biggest addition of the offseason.
Okay. I mean, I think the Magic will be good.
Paolo Banchero. He's going to be All-NBA this year. Wagner. He has improved his jump shot, as we've seen over the course of the preseason in Eurobasket.
Heartbreak emoji. Dying flower emoji.
My second seed, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're going to be a great regular season team. I still don't think they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I love Evan Mobley's game. I think if they have a down year or if they have another early playoff exit, I think we can see DG get traded. But I do have another bold prediction. I think Lonzo Ball playing next to Donovan Mitchell will be better than DG
fire.
Playing.
Yes, yes.
I think
what?
Yes.
No.
I know you like
DG. Better than Darius Garland?
No, I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying he's better. But I'm saying it's going to fit better.
I'm not mad at that take at all.
It's going to fit better.
Lonzo we understand Darius Garland's from Nashville, bro. We get it.
I'm about to say, just because he went to Vandy, we get it.
Fam, no.
He went to Brick with a
Cavs. And DG doesn't stay healthy.
Fam.
Like, and then my one seed the Knicks.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about that for a minute?
I mean, talk about it.
Lonzo's a great creator, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you not see the
Darius Garland? Darius Garland
week?
Is also a good, a great creator and a much better scorer as well.
Yeah, but you don't need that from him.
But you don't.
You want Donovan Mitchell to be the one getting the majority of the buckets. You don't want him to be losing some of that.
I'm gonna agree with both sides. I'm gonna say I would love him to be the star of my second unit. I would love
who, DG?
Lonzo.
Oh.
Of a second unit. Lonzo Ball, those days are sales.
No, hold on. The star was the wrong phrasing.
He's gonna have a tight role.
The focal point of my second unit. I was going to say I would love him to create for the other backup players when my second unit is in. I would love for him to get most of his minutes in that end of the first quarter, middle of the second quarter. Like, we're getting DG some rest. We're getting Mitchell some rest. We still need to create buckets when they're off the floor. I would love him to be the guy who's starting the offense in my second unit. He's showed the ability to create already in the preseason. He's back to a creating point guard form. He's no longer a star player in this league because of injuries. I'm sorry to say, like, his knees are in shambles, but like, for him to be able to create in the second unit, I absolutely believe he'll be effective doing that.
I just feel like when Darius Garland isn't give you that 20 points a game, he's just such a liability on defense. It's like, bro,
Lonzo isn't a great defender anymore.
Yeah,
but at least he's a body.
He's just saying that because he's taller.
No, he's an above average defender.
Bro,
still.
He's a 6'6 guard.
I mean,
the Cavs backcourt.
He can defend. I'm saying, but
the
like,
Cavs
he's not
backcourt is a 6'1 Darius Garland and a 6'2
and that's why you go with what's folks' name? The small forward.
Isaac Hunter. Coro or DeAndre Hunter.
That's why you go with Hunter and then the freaking two giants behind them with Evan Mobley and what's his name?
Jared Allen.
Yeah, Jared Allen.
I don't think the Cavs are lacking of talent. I'm just gonna put it like that. Yeah, like I don't think you need to decide between DG and Lonzo. I think they'll both complement the team well.
And my thing to y'all is there's no, like, Darius Garland is a known and arguably he came into the league as a scorer, but he's shown that he's a more than capable of being a facilitator. In 2022, he averaged 9 assists a game.
Nobody's saying he can't facilitate.
So then why would you rather have Lonzo Ball out with
him? Because Lonzo can guard. He can guard. Literally. He's a bigger body, and he can give you the same amount of Darius facilitation Garland that Darius Garland
neither one of them has to guard the number one scoring option. Not to mention the fact that when Donovan Mitchell entered the league, one of his biggest draws was that he could play defense, but he doesn't play defense anymore because he's too worried about scoring.
Right.
That's cool. That's why you have a roster full of 3D people to the point where neither.
Not guarding.
Then that's what I'm saying. That's cool too. But
DG's not about to give me 29.
He gonna give you 22.
In the regular season. Where was that in the playoffs last year? Was DG in the playoffs last year?
Damn, they played team ball.
Bro, they did not. They were.
There was no reason why they should have lost to the Indiana Pacers.
Thank you.
They had the better roster from top to bottom.
I mean, bro.
Was DG the one that got face shot at for game?
Yes.
By,
got
what? You heard me.
Overly killed.
By Halle? By the Halle band?
Was he?
Keep it in Jalen. I don't care.
Wait, was that DG or Ty Jerome?
I'm not
sure. It
could
have been Ty Jerome, but I feel like it was DG.
Yeah, I feel like it was too. Bro, DG literally stunk that series up. Like, literally. That's what they were missing was Darius Garland.
But Lonzo, but plug and play Lonzo Ball, and they probably win that series, right?
No, yes. I agree with that. I agree with that take.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not saying they win the series.
But they make it go to.
Halle was hoping, bro. We can't take that away from Halle.
That's what I'm saying. They're making it to 7.
We're saying DG can't guard, but we're trying to take it away from Halle. Halle can hoop, bro. Halle was having a great playoff run.
All right, let me ask you this. If DG wasn't from Nashville, Tennessee, do you have the same confidence in him?
Yes! He's a two-time All-Star. He's averaged as much as what? 24 points a game. He's averaged as much as 9 rebounds a game. He's only
Darius
what?
Darius Garland averaged 9 rebounds when?
I mean, 9 assists, excuse me. He's only what?
What's up with the Darius Garland hate?
No, it's not Darius Garland hate, but he's not that good.
He's not that good.
I like DG.
Hold on, wait.
But he's not that good. I'm
not going to say he's not that good, but the pairing
between... only 25.
The pairing between him and... Donovan Mitchell, it's not a good fit at all.
Bro,
they both need the ball.
You cannot complain about 20 points a game, 7 assists.
I'm not complaining about it.
He's a great fit for the team, man. I'm saying, and I agree with the take that Lonzo is a good fit for the team as well. I don't know why we're complaining. Like, he can guard. He's not a lockdown or anything, but it's not like he's allowing like the most points in the East or something. Like, we would know if he was a terrible defender. He is not.
Okay.
My thing, wait, hold on. Last thing before
last
we move
point,
on.
Last
this
point.
Man, Lonzo Ball, is now.
What, 30? 29?
Almost 20. He's going to be 28 next week. He's going to be 28 next week. And I don't think he's played a meaningful minute of basketball since 20. He hasn't played a meaningful minute of basketball since 2018.
But it's fine, though. He'll be.
2018? Bryson, you were in middle school.
Hey, bro.
I was in middle school.
Shout out 2018,
bro. Shout out
2018. Like,
wait,
hey,
time out.
Man, I'll always be a Lonzo Ball fan from UCLA.
No, me too.
Like, UCLA
shout
Lonzo
out
7th, 8th
grade, bro.
So much horror, bro.
Are you
when he beat Kentucky?
Oh, my God.
Shout out Kirby Smith Middle School, bro. What are we talking about?
You overdid it. He was on the Bulls in 2021 when they was on pace to win 50
plus. He didn't play.
He did.
Like, immediately, bro.
Bro, he came back. He literally came back to play LaMelo. You feel me? Got a little 3 in front of LaMelo.
Wait, you
I'm
said
big
he was on the Bulls
still.
Team when?
In 2021.
And they did what?
They made the play. They're like the top 4 team or top 5
team.
He was
on the Pelicans. Oh, 2021, 2022.
Yeah, that was the year.
Yeah,
that year.
Yeah,
that was the year like Martin Rosen was like.
And they
clutch,
was hooping.
Like,
yeah.
Clutch.
And he got hurt because they were the 1 seed. And then he got hurt and the team went downhill. That team was going to make some noise that year.
I mean,
happened. He played 35 games.
And he missed 2 consecutive seasons.
He averaged 13 points.
Damn, y'all being this confident in Lonzo Ball is...
Bro, this is such like...
Me.
Bro, that mixtape was so hard 10 years
nah,
ago.
Literally,
talk,
bro.
This is such like
what y'all,
Chino
you were watching
Hills, bro.
Yeah, literally. Y'all spent
this
your homecoming...
Like, y'all saw that lob to Jello, though. Like, this is such like...
they spent their homecoming watching
table,
Chino
bro.
Hills highlights.
But nah, let's switch gears and talk about a sneaky team that you think can make some noise in the Eastern Conference and a sneaky team to make some noise in the Western Conference.
I mean, those sneaky teams are probably just playoff teams, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Can we do just do the West.
You want to do the West? We can do the West.
Let's just do the West. Because we just did our whole Eastern Conference.
You're right.
Yeah, so, I feel like all of our sneaky teams are going to be the Hawks. That's the sneakiest team.
In the Magic.
Oh, well.
Wait.
I feel like the Magic is an expectation now. Like,
oh, no, I mean, we all forgot about Desmond Bane. Like, we were all
sitting on the bench. I didn't forget about him. Trust me, I didn't forget about him. That's a guy.
But nah.
Okay.
Switching gears, let's talk about some sneaky teams that you think can make some noise in the Western Conference.
It is so obviously the Spurs. Because they were a lottery team. I mean, yeah, because they were a lottery team last year.
They had the second pick.
Yeah, like, they're going to come back and just be such a dominant team in the West. I could see them easily being, like, fourth seed, easily.
I'll never count out Dub Nation as well. I love Curry's my GOAT. I'll never count out Curry. Big addition with Al Horford.
Saying Curry's your GOAT will get a very long conversation out of you on the live show.
I'm going to always stand for that. I mean, Curry's the GOAT.
Just say it again on the live show, Joe. Like, I just want
to. Most definitely.
Say it again.
Like I said, Curry's my GOAT. So I'll definitely say Dub Nation. They wouldn't shock me if they came with a little, you feel what I'm saying, 5 seed. They wouldn't shock me.
I feel like they're always the 5 seed. I feel like, you know, Curry's never going to lose a certain amount of games. He's always going to have those couple 40-point games that keep them in the middle of the playoffs.
I could see a little playoff run. Al Horford hit a big-time three.
I'm not going to lie. Forgot about Big Al.
My sneaky team is the Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
Nobody's talking about
them.
No,
but realistically.
Let him cook.
The next young boy video for the cause. My bad.
Bro, John Morant, that's not it.
I'm not saying John Morant is it, but I'm not saying he's going to be the guy to lead him to the playoffs or what. But the way this roster is constructed now, they have so many ball handlers that they can go around and really do some crazy things. They have John Morant, Ty Jerome. They have
Scottie Pippen Jr.
They have the young bull, yeah. Jalen Wells. They have...
this is such GG. Off-season talk, bro.
GG Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Their guard depth... I know KCP had a down year last year, but I guarantee he's not going to have 2 bad years in a row. He's going to go back to being that elite 3-and-D role player.
This is nuts.
My thing, and y'all know I'm a Grizzlies fan. I know I'm a Grizzlies fan. Everyone is hurt right now. Everyone is hurt right now. And some of these boys are like... Brandon Clark is out until, like, almost... like probably past Thanksgiving. Zach Edey's out for 6 to 9 weeks. Ja will probably be back
he's gonna be back.
But yeah, Pippen Jr. is not gonna be evaluated for another 12 weeks.
Hey man, so even the old man Clippers are more healthy than y'all. That's absolutely
nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah, nah, everyone over there is hurt, but I will say this, if everyone's healthy, the team does look like a very modern day NBA team with a lot of wings, a lot of ball handlers.
I can see that.
And the bigs that can shoot. You got Zach Edey, obviously, who's even since
a very entertaining play in team. No. A very entertaining
and that's cool. John Morant, when he's healthy and on the court, is must see TV. I don't know why Bryson feels like he's not it.
He's a threat to society, bro. We need him off the he's a threat to society.
Hey man, I know he was at that Young Boy concert.
What?
I know.
Tripping.
What?
I'm not gonna lie to you, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I like Ja, but like, other than Ja just dunking on somebody, like, what is Ja really just doing?
We got Ant for that now.
We have other people that does the same thing.
Ant's what Ja was supposed to be.
Yeah,
man.
Literally, like, no. And then Ja can get.
Ant is what Ant was supposed to be, and Ja has been what Ja is supposed to be. What everybody forgets is that
Ja's courts,
bro. Ja's
fam, he did not assault a minor.
Threaten a minor, my bad.
Bro, you can't go out here and charge this man with stuff. Like,
bro, like, are you serious? Bro, I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Ja Morant has no brain, bro. Ja Morant is the type of person to get in trouble for a gun charge on Instagram.
I'm not going that far.
And then do the same thing the 2 weeks later thinking it's going to be no consequence.
So who's everybody's sneaky team? Well, I had two teams, but we can get
ahead, give you other
I also want to mention something about another team. I feel like the Houston Rockets, I like their roster, but they have no point guard now. I mean,
Jeff not letting you come back on.
If a Min Thompson.
He's not bringing the ball up. Let's be so
that's
real.
What
KD's
saying,
bringing
like,
the ball up. Sengun's bringing the ball up.
Bro, I feel you, but it's just like, yo, that like ball handling, I feel like that's going to be their downfall.
I think someone's just going to bring
Ace
the ball
up.
That's 6'10". It's fine.
No, they're definitely going to end up changing the lineup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, probably, but.
Dude, Ace Bailey, we have Jabari Smith Jr. Shout out, he's from the A. I know Jeff, that's his homeboy. But, bro, Jabari Smith Jr. playing at small forward, it's going to be too big. I feel like if they play the team like the Golden State Warriors and Curry's just running around like that, they can't stop that.
Yeah, I think that's
They can't stop that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Austin, who is your sneaky team?
out west, my sneaky team, y'all know I was going to shout out the Grizz, but like I said, it's too many injuries going on right now. I think a sneaky team that a lot of people aren't expecting them to be this good this year is the Lakers. Obviously, Bron is going to miss quite some time at the beginning of the year, but I think we kind of forget Luka has, you know what I'm saying? Luka has some experience putting the team on his back.
That's why it's not sneaky. They have an MVP player on their team.
People are talking like the Lakers really just aren't going to do anything this year.
Yeah, but their depth is terrible.
Depth is terrible, but I mean, you
guys,
saw
they
how
have DeAndre Ayton.
They're big. Yeah, DeAndre Ayton
is Ayton, but
Ayton could give me a good 10 and 10.
Ayton might be the most improved player.
Ayton has never played with like, and he's played with Booker a lot, but Booker's not. Oh, he did play with Chris Paul.
And that's when he had his best year.
I think, you know, the league isn't very center heavy right now. Like, you need a lot of centers. You don't need quality centers.
And I'll give you that too.
Yeah, good center rotation. I like that pool.
Luka's made a lot of mid bigs look amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he made the Gaffer and Lively do what it is.
I
today.
Thought Lively,
like,
was gonna be on a tear with Luka. Yeah. He's just okay,
like,
man.
But you see how Luka made Lively like that dude.
I thought Lively was struggled at nasty.
Yeah, it's just because Luka's passing, bro.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's what Magic's gonna be pretty good.
Literally.
And Wes, who's your sneaky team?
I'm gonna stick with the Spurs.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Spurs.
Yeah, I like the Spurs.
I like them, man. They got lucky because they probably weren't gonna do much last year in the West, and then, you know, Victor goes down and they turn terrible. So then they get a good pick and they get Dylan Harper. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have a bright future for sure.
Shout out Stephon Castle. I watched him a lot in high school.
Yeah,
he's a dog.
Yeah, no,
he's a dog.
He had a great rookie season too.
Yeah. Well, fellas. Well, my two teams was the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trail Blazers. I think Portland gonna be pretty decent this year.
I like the Drew Holiday addition. I don't really see anything.
Portland will upset at least a few playoff teams and not win a lot of games.
Well, fellas, that's the conclusion of the show. I feel like we had a great show today. But now on to our favorite part of the show, the shout-outs. First and foremost, got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love. Got to shout out my family. Shout out the guys. Shout out Paolo Banchero, man. Hopefully we get this MVP this year, All-NBA, all that good stuff.
We?
But,
He's a scout.
That man doesn't know you.
I want to shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out the listeners. I want to shout out the playmakers. Shout out everyone in the booth, everyone not in the booth. I hope you all had a good homecoming. And you lit, man.
Shout out to the guys in the studio. Been a blessing to be in here today. Wasn't supposed to be in here today, but you know, right place, right time. Came across Mike, said, I want to pull up. I said, not really, but here I am. But yeah, shout out B-Russ too. First show, came in, was on point. Great addition to the team. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Shout out God. Shout out the Playmakers for having me. Thankful to have my first show. You feel what I'm saying? Hopefully it's many more.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for being on. Like you said, many more shows to come. Just the beginning.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 and the School of Journalism and Graphic Communications at Florida A&M University.